Forge Ministries is pleased to welcome David Covey with a message entitled, Loving Your Siblings.
We are talking about loving our siblings. And when we talk about loving one another, we often talk about loving one another outside of our family. It's often loving our friends, loving those in church, loving our neighbors, loving those who are a little bit further away from us than our direct family. But the fact is that we spend the majority of time with our siblings, especially for younger people who live in the home with their siblings. They live with their brothers and sisters. But because we focus on others, sometimes we relegate loving our brothers and sisters to a little bit lower standard, or it's not quite as important to us as it often should be. But I want to suggest to you today that loving our siblings is one of the highest and one of the greatest callings that there is. It goes to who you really are deep down. Because if you love your siblings, it shows genuine love. You can walk into your home and close the door and get away from other people. And you can stop answering the phone or stop going and seeing friends. But your family, they're always there. They know the little things about you that no one else knows. They're there and they know what you don't want other people to know. But your friends you can block off. If we will embrace our siblings and learn to love and to walk in unity with them, I believe that they will be a continuing source of strength, encouragement, blessing. And if we will embrace having them in our life and pray for their good and genuinely love our siblings, it will be one of the greatest lifelong blessings that we can experience. I'm proud that my best friends are my brothers and my sisters. And it's a blessing that will go with me throughout my life. Well, if we are going to love our brothers and sisters, we have to think right about our siblings. And we need to understand that our siblings are an unchangeable. There's something that we can't change. You see, God chose who your brothers and your sisters would be. You didn't choose. It's not something that you picked out. If you could choose, you probably wouldn't have picked the ones you got. I'll give you an example. My brother. We were back in high school working for a rancher. And he had hired us to take down his old wooden hay barn and put up a new metal barn. It would be a little bit bigger. He could store more hay in it. And so we're up there, and it has a tin roof. So we get 2x4s, and we just knock the tin off, no problem. And then we begin to disassemble piece by piece this old hay barn. So we're up in the loft. And I'm working, you know, pulling out the nails and dropping them into a can. And Jonathan, he's not much for the slow, methodical method of taking down a barn. So he gets the sledgehammer. And the building was fixed so that it had these rafters coming down from each side and supporting the walls. The walls were about 30 feet long. And instead of pulling the nails out, he just gets it and starts, boom, knocks the board off. Boom, knocks the board off and just starts walking down the wall. And so I'm thinking over there, well, hope he leaves some support. And I keep going with my nail, getting the next nail out. I'm doing it the right way, by the way. Okay, and so I pull out my nails and drop it in. And I just hear him in the background, boom, 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 boom. And I drop my next nail in. And just as I drop it and bring it into my can, I hear, "Watch out!" And I look back, and he's just knocked the last support off the west wall. And at the top of it, it's kind of starting to look like it's going to fall, could come toward us and crush us, or it could fall out. And so I jump to the other wall where he was. We stand there for just a second, and the whole wall, now remember, it's about 30 feet long. It's all connected. This is thousands of pounds of lumber. It starts to fall out. And it goes, and it falls, and boom, and dust flies up above us. And the thing was, there's an electrical pole on the other side. So the wall hits the transformer where it comes in and ties into the building. It goes boom, and it blows out the top of the electrical pole. Flames start shooting out. A smokestack is going up in the air. White dust begins to settle on me. And I begin to question his methods at that point. And we kind of looked over at him, and he just kind of went. And so sometimes things happen that make us question whether our siblings were really the right ones for us. But God chose who our siblings were. He put the right ones in our lives. They are perfectly designed to work God's will in our life. They are there so that they can refine us. And in their difficulties, we learn patience, and we learn character, and we learn to serve others. And so God put them in. If we reject our siblings, then we're really rejecting what God has done in our life and what He has put in us. And siblings are a valued gift. If children are a blessing from the Lord to parents, then they're also a blessing of the Lord to other siblings. You see, if someone that we love gives us this wonderful gift, how are we going to treat it? If we really love the person, what if we don't really care about the gift? If we love the person and they give us this gift, we're going to treasure it. We're going to take care of it. We're going to delight in the gift that they have given us. And so if we think right about our siblings, we'll understand that they're given to us by God. I want us, if you have your Bible, you can turn to Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to look at a passage that applies to the church, but we're going to bring it specifically be looking at siblings and families, physical families. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, he says, "So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart," and he names several things, "of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on" what? "Love, which is the perfect bond of unity." Love is a bond of unity, the perfect bond of unity that holds us together. And if we want our families and our siblings to work together and experience the joy and the peace that comes from siblings working together, we have to have love in our family. It's relationships that matter. Well, the first thing in it, he says, put on a heart of compassion and kindness. And one of the things that I think are important for us to remember is that we need to be encouraging. We need to be kind to one another. We need to encourage each other in the Lord, in the right things. 1 Thessalonians says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing." We need to give more praise than direction to our siblings. You know, it's very common, especially for older siblings, to have children doing something and, oh, well, you didn't do that right. Oh, you should have baked the cinnamon rolls longer. Oh, you dried my shirt too long. Oh, if you did this, it'd be a little bit better. Oh, no, you shouldn't have done that. No, you better do this. Oh, this is a better way. And I tend to do that with my siblings all the time. And most of the time, I was pretty right. But if we overdo the direction, if we have more direction and instruction, then we have praise for our siblings. We become the big bossy brother, the big bossy sister. We have pride in our life. So we don't want to give more direction and rebuke and criticism than we give praise. Praise for younger children and for all of our siblings is incredibly important in drawing unity among brothers and sisters. But you know what else is important? It's praise in the presence of others. My older brother often would bring me in and praise me in front of our friends or in front of other people that we were around. And it just kind of makes you feel good. You know, it encourages a loyalty and makes you think, oh, he does value me. And it's important, I think, for families to have this loyalty. Not that we don't hide, that we hide sin, but it's that we are sticking together and we encourage each other in the Lord. We don't go out and our friends come over and start airing the dirty laundry of the friend. Well, he does this wrong and he does that wrong. We don't want to always be quick to undermine, quick to cut the feet out from under our siblings. We should praise them in the presence of others. Also, we don't need to be jealous. It's so incredibly easy for siblings to be jealous, especially when you have sisters and sisters or brothers and brothers or they're real close to the same age and they're doing all the same things. They can become jealous. And they want to build themselves up and they start to compete and trying to do better than the other one. But you know how we lift ourselves up often? Push the other one down. We want to encourage unity, encourage families to be building each other up together in the Lord, not pushing down and competing. And parents have a big responsibility here because it's easy for parents to praise one child more than the other or to always be bringing gifts to one child. It's not that you have to bring gifts for everyone all the time. But try to give some balance and bring something for this one this time and learn about your children. Do different things for them so that it doesn't create this attitude or environment of competition in the family. And then we need to clearly communicate our love if we are going to love one another. Clearly communicate our love. And a lot of that is done by just saying, I love you. You know, so many families have what seems to be a generational curse of they can't say I love you. I mean, they just can't say it. The words won't come out. We need to break that. We need to be able to say I love you to your siblings, to your brother. You say, well, we just don't do that in my family. Or we just don't do that around here. They would look at me funny. Well, do it about 3 or 4 times and they'll start to get over it. Just keep doing it. Tell them that you love them. You know, it's also important that you put it in writing. You see, when you write down notes of encouragement or love, it multiplies it several times. It's a permanent type of thing. Where you're putting it in writing. You're willing to say, I love you. I am praying for you. I'm encouraging you. About at the beginning of this year, I moved to Austin away from my family again to work in, as Micah said, the Texas Senate. And between January and May, we had what's called the legislative session. So we were working almost around the clock on bills and different things. It became very stressful and very difficult. But one of the things that encouraged me and got me through a lot of that time was I would come home after a stressful day and open the mail, and one of my sisters would have written me a note. And after, when you're just at the bottom, to pull out their little note that says, "Praying for you, brother. Be strong in the Lord. Keep seeking Him. Stand steadfast." I was just like, "Oh, hallelujah." And you put it down. I'd go in. Many times I'd go into my bedroom and pray and thank the Lord and cry a little bit. Felt it was a very lonely time. Then go back and read the note again. It's a very encouraging. If siblings will write notes of encouragement and communicate their love to one another. The only way we will praise sufficiently, though, as opposed to criticizing and rebuking, is if we continually are watching for things to praise for. Look for things in your siblings to praise them for. Have it on your mind that they did that well. It's not to build them up falsely, but it's to encourage them in the Lord and praise them when they do the things of the Lord. You did well at helping serve that widow lady. Or, "I was proud of you when you went and helped that little child." Or, "It made me glad to see that you sacrificed your toy or your stuff for that person." That's very important in developing unity and a loving relationship among siblings. Siblings do too much teasing and not enough praising and thanking. You know, older brothers are real bad about teasing. Kind of like the bullfighter, we kind of hold it there and we draw them in. You know, one of my used to be favorite things to do was when your little brother's kind of coming, he's swinging at you and you're holding him at arm length, and you do that little turn and let him go. They just trip right over you. And then they come and do it again. We don't need to be teasing our younger brothers. It hurts them, especially younger ones. Learn how we can build them up instead of tearing them down. Well, Colossians, he said in verse 12, compassion and kindness, encouraging one another, but also humility. Humility is an emptying of ourself and serving one another. It's learning to love sacrificially, where we're giving of ourself. Philippians 2 goes along. It says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with what? Humility of mind. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others." We need to be looking out for the interest of our brothers and sisters, looking how we can serve them. That's going to mean that we have to be selfless. We need to be other-centered. Instead of always centering on ourselves, it's important that we center on our brothers and sisters. That's one of the reasons it's so good when families put the siblings together in bedrooms, or put them together in different situations where they're working together and they're not learning to have an independent spirit or a spirit that's always looking out for themselves. But they're learning that I work with my brothers and sisters. I work to help us. We all work together to build the family, to obey mom and dad, and to build the kingdom of God. To emptying of ourselves. We need to yield our rights for the sake of our siblings. You know, so often we have this continuing arguments and bickering between each other for things as small as, "Well, it's my turn to sit in the front seat." Well, maybe it's your turn, but think what it communicates to a sibling when you don't bring it up as a point of argument. They get in the front seat and you get in the back. You know, it's very important that we learn to yield our rights. But also, we need to invest your time in our siblings. Invest in our siblings. If we will begin to invest and pour our life into them, we'll begin to make a difference. One of the times that Jonathan and I weren't getting along real well, my parents suggested, well, find a way that you can serve him. And so in as little a way as making his bed in the morning, he would get up and I would get up and he'd go to get ready and I would make my bed and I would make his bed. I began. It was such a small thing. I mean, making a bed. But by investing in him, it was much harder. And I was much less inclined to argue with him later in the day because I had done something nice for him. I'm not going to argue. We're in good terms. Why ruin a good thing? We invest in it. It's the same way if you invest in a company, you buy stock in it. You're not going to go out on the internet and start blogging how bad the company is. You invest in things that are important to you, things that you love. So invest in your brothers and sisters. Find ways that you can serve your brothers or your sisters. And then we need to lead through service. Servants are leaders. And so we need to lead in the right things, especially older siblings. Find ways that you can lead. Find out what mom and dad are wanting to do, what kind of ministry they think is important, and lead the younger children in doing it. Jump in and do the worst jobs. It was often when we would have company, we knew they were coming over for dinner that night. And mom would say, well, we got a vacuum and mop. And then she'd go to the store to get the groceries. They'd come back and fix the meal. And while she's gone that morning, we divide up the house and vacuum it and mop the tile. And sometimes your little sisters are the biggest servants. And brothers get a little lazy. And they'll just let them do it all. I mean, sometimes sisters say it's just not worth getting David to come and help vacuum. That's not the kind of attitude we need to have. We need to be the first ones to jump in, to clean the house, to do whatever it is that's the goal of our family. Bring about a unity through love. Not only do we serve one another, though, in verse 12 of Colossians, it goes on, compassion, kindness, humility, but also gentleness and patience. And patience. I think it's important that we learn not just to be patient with their flaws and step back and say, oh, well, he'll never get fixed. He'll never get it right. I'm just going to be patient, not say anything. That's not the kind of patience that it's talking about here. We need the kind of patience when we begin to pray for our brothers and sisters. Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. We need to be devoted to praying for our brothers and sisters, doing war on their behalf, praying for their success, praying that God will draw them closer to Himself. We need to pray for each sibling and not give up. There's a lady that tells the story how she had an older sister. And as a girl, she knew that her sister was not a Christian. And so she began at a young age to pray for her. That sister had a hard heart and didn't like to talk or do participate in the things of God. That sister kept praying and praying. She got through college. She got married. Kept praying for her older sister. Around 50 years later, that older sister began to pick up her Bible and read it. She began to pray, talk of the things of the Lord. We can never give up on our siblings. Just because we move out of the house or they go off, we think it's hopeless. God can still work in through our prayers. It's important that we pray and lift them up, invest in them through prayer. We also need to pray for physical and spiritual blessings. It's good to pray that they do well on their test. That's important. It's good to pray that they have safety on the road. That's a good thing. But we also need to pray that they have alertness, that they are genuine and sincere in their love. There's a list that I have here. We can pray that they'll be alert against temptations, that they'll be bold to share the gospel, that they'll be cheerful under trials, that they'll be committed to Christ, that they'll be compassionate and content, courageous, determined, devout, diligent and discerning, disciplined, faithful, forgiving, friendly, generous, gentle, genuine, giving, glad, godly. You can go through the alphabet. Gracious, holy, honorable, hopeful, hospitable, humble, joyful, just, kind, long-suffering, loving, meek, merciful, modest, mournful, obedient, orderly, patient, peaceful, poor in spirit, praising, prayerful, prudent, pure, purposeful, quiet, reasonable, relentless, repentant, respectful, restful, reverent, sacrificial, satisfied in God, serious, sincere, single-minded, sober-minded, steadfast, strong, submissive, sympathetic, temperate, thankful, trustful, understanding, vigilant, watchful, wise, worshipful, and yielded and zealous. How about that to start with? Pray for their spiritual growth. Pray that God will work in them. That's part of loving. That's part of being patient and seeing the growth as the Spirit of God works in them and changes them. You can rejoice with them. I'd say pray for them out loud sometimes. In our family, we've done where we go around the room at family worship and pray for the sibling on our right. It's good to hear your siblings praying for you and for you to pray for your siblings. We also need to forgive. What's verse 13 say in Colossians? Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. We need to be forgiving. I talked to over 20 fathers in preparing this talk and asked them, how do you teach your children unity? How do you teach them to love one another? And all of them said they must learn to forgive one another. You see, the reason that we don't find it easy to forgive our brothers and our sisters is because we don't have a disgusting view of our own sin. If we realized the position that we were in and we realized how abhorrent our sin is to God, then we would realize how much He has forgiven us. But instead, we have a low view of what we've done and think we're better than we are. And so it's a little bit harder when they take the last cookie that was supposed to be ours. If we saw sin how it was, and we saw how much God abhorred it, it would be easier and come more natural. We would be wanting to forgive. You see, we need to be eager to forgive. We just need to forgive and forgive and forgive. And the more we understand the forgiveness and what God has done and what Christ, the work He has done on the cross, the more we want to forgive others. And just forgive and forgive and forgive. It brings about a unity and a love in the family. And even children, 5, 6, 7, need to begin to understand. You make mistakes. You do bad things. See, we all live with fallen people. If we're going to have a loving relationship, we're going to have to forgive. Just keep forgiving and forgiving. Not 7 times, but 70 times 7 times. Just keep forgiving, forgiving, because of what Christ has done for us. And we don't need to be easily offended. You know, we're very easily offended. We need to grow a little bit thicker skin, not toward sin, but we're not always questioning the motives of others. He cut in line in front of me. He hates me. She said my cake was nice. What did she mean by that? We need to get a little thicker skin and understand that everyone's not out to get us. We need to avoid bitterness by quickly forgiving. Ask for forgiveness and give forgiveness. If we don't, it harbors this bitterness in our life, which takes root and it goes deep. It's hard to get rid of. Be quick to forgive. Get it behind us. Keep short accounts with our brothers and sisters. We are going to live in a loving relationship with them. Not only forgive one another, though, if we do that, it will result in great joy and peace in the home. Have you ever walked into a home that's peaceful? You walk in and you just think, wow, there's something different about this home. There's something in the environment of it. You can feel the peace that reigns in that home. That's the kind of homes that we want to have. Also, walking in unity and loving one another is a positive and godly influence on our siblings. Older siblings, you just don't realize the influence which you have on your younger siblings. You say, well, I know I don't have any. Yes, you do. You have an incredible amount of influence over what your siblings do. You just need to use it for the right things. Use it to encourage godliness and holiness in their life, not selfishness. Use that incredible relationship of younger siblings looking up to older siblings to lead and guide and to reinforce what your parents are teaching. And it creates lifelong friendships. You know, some friendships you invest in, and then they're not there anymore. But the great thing about brothers and sisters is that you have them. They can produce this blessing in your life that continues till death. Many times your parents are gone, but you can get together with your siblings, reflect on the good times. My brother and I are both in our 20s and still best friends and look forward to being friends for a long time. It's a wonderful thing when siblings understand how they can be best friends. They can accomplish so much more for the kingdom of God when they are working together in unity and in love. We'll look at Colossians 3:16. We might say, how can we have this loving relationship with our siblings? How do I love my siblings? How do I walk in unity with them? And I believe the answer is right here in verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You say, well, I know the Bible. That's not what it said. It said, let the word of Christ, what? Richly dwell within you. The word of Christ. It's not enough to just know the 12 tribes of Israel. It's not enough to know just how long Jonah was in the belly of the well. It's about letting the word of Christ dwell in our hearts. And it's not something that we can do on our own. It's not something that we can conjure up in our own strength. This is something that comes from the Spirit of God. And the word of God, the word of Christ, is to reside in our hearts, to dwell richly there. It is to be the residing presence, the dominant occupant, the energizing force of thought. That's the idea. He didn't just say the Scripture, know the Scripture. He said, let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you. You can think of the thoughts of the spirits, and you can have sound judgment of divine wisdom from God, and you can express the mind of Christ, and you can think mature thoughts, and you can think spiritual thoughts, and you can think heavenly thoughts if your thinking processes are energized by the dominant and richly dwelling Word of Christ, so that your instincts, your spiritual instincts, and your involuntary reactions are right because you are dominated by the Word of Christ. It isn't just that you know, it's that it occupies the reigning and compelling area of your life. So there's no mystical thing here. It's a matter of letting the Word of Christ dominate you, and it becomes the controlling force in your life that pushes you ever upward and out of yourself. We don't do this on our own. It's only through Christ. And we don't love our brother or our sister because they deserve it. We don't do it because they've earned it. God did not love us because we earned it. It's through His grace. As long as we're looking at little Johnny to see how he treats us to determine our response to him, we won't be able to love him. We have to look to Christ and fill ourselves with the Spirit of Christ. That's what it says in Hebrews. It says, set your mind to run with endurance the race that is set before you, fixing your eyes on what? Jesus. We have to look to Him for our strength to love one another. And then, it won't be that we're just held together because of the physical family. You see, if you think of a bag of marbles, of a bag of marbles, everyone, it's in this bag. If it gets a tear, the marbles all fall out. They go their own direction. We don't want our families held together by this outward container or bag, but think of a magnet. When it goes into a pile of metal shavings, it sucks them up. Think of Christ as that power that draws us to Himself first. But in drawing us to Himself, it draws us to each other and through each other so that we're securely anchored in Christ. That is the only way we can love our siblings and have unity with them. Loving your siblings is a direct result of loving Christ Jesus, as the Word of Christ richly dwells within you and renews your inner man. You become a new creature. Old thing passed away and all things new. That includes new affections, new desires, and new ability to love your siblings by the strength and the power of the Spirit of God. We seek Christ and we seek His love to fill our house and to fill our lives. And it will bring that sweet unity of brothers and sisters living and dwelling together in unity because not of their love, but of the love of Christ which comes and permeates through each sibling. Let's pray. Father, we pray for Your love to fill our homes, to fill our lives, to fill our churches, that we will love one another with true Christ-like love. Father, draw us to Yourself and bless the many families that are here with Your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you would like more information about Forge Ministries, including information about our upcoming events, please visit us on the web at forgeministries.org.